Hello and welcome to Car Talk from National Public Radio. With us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and we're broadcasting this week from the International Sports Marketing Division here at Car Talk Plaza.
I want to test your marketing abilities. I'm going to give you an example.
They're weak, I can tell you that right now.
There are many countries that have sports teams of various kinds, and they have to come up with a name which is compelling, memorable, and all that stuff.
Exactly, sure.
For example, in Brussels, they have a team called the Brussels Sprouts.
Of course.
Okay, help me out here. You know the capital of Taiwan.
Taipei.
What do you think the name of their team is?
Taipei. I haven't
got Taipei Personalities. How about Amsterdam?
I give.
The Yankees, man. The Amsterdam Yankees. Well, this is simple.
I can see. I'm not in the groove here.
This is simple. Vienna. This should be the Red Sox. The Vienna Sausages. And the Belgian Waffles, of course. How about the Philippines? The capital is Manila.
Right. The Manila Envelopes.
Manila Folders. Very good. And, of course, Czechoslovakia. That's a simple one. Czech.
Checks in the mail.
Bouncers. The Czech Bouncers. This is a tough one. The New Delhi.
The New Delhi.
Quintessence.
Delhi Quintessence.
It took Louie and me 20 minutes to figure that out. Oh, by the way, this was sent to us by Tony Kuhlman from cyberspace. Let's see what else we have. Oh, yeah. Bolivia. This is, you won't get this one. I'll have to help you.
The Bolivia Watch Company. I bought one of those once.
No, this is the Bolivia de Havilland. And then we got Prague, the capital of
Czechoslovakia. It's one of those Czechs. Race Czechs.
One of those Czech capitals. Yeah. The proctologists. not bad.
Not good.
Not bad at all.
Well, look, if you have a question about your car or anything else, the number to call is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255.
Guys make money coming up with stuff like
proctologists. Oh, God. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hey, guys, this is Dave. I'm calling from Georgia.
Hey, Dave, just anywhere in Georgia or just Georgia?
It's actually St. Mary's, Georgia.
St. Mary's.
What end of Georgia is that?
That is the farthest south you can get. You know that river that splits Florida and Georgia? That's the St. Mary's River.
Oh, no kidding.
Would that be near Jessup?
I'm not sure. I've been here for 2 days. So don't ask me any questions about it. I know the river. That's
it. So your car broke down and that's why you're calling.
That's right. I'm on the side of the road. No. No, my car, I have a 96 Isuzu Rodeo, and anytime I'm driving it, like on a road trip for more than about 30 minutes, the floorboard right under the accelerator heats up so much I have to kind of move my foot out of the way. And It's only been happening for about 8 to 12 months, and it's only when I've been driving the car for an extended period of time.
Well, it would stand to reason that it would happen, number one, if you were driving for an extended period of time.
Uh-huh.
Number two, if the weather were hot, you know, i.e. the ambient temperature were high.
Yeah.
Because the floor is already 100 degrees even before you start the engine.
It's just in one spot, and I can move my foot out of the way. I can't even drive in bare feet. I have to have shoes on. It's unbearable.
Yeah.
Really? And where, again, is it exactly?
It's a small area.
Right on the gas pedal.
Right under the gas pedal.
So it's not where your heel is.
Yeah, it's about where my heel is.
Yeah.
Well, here's what I think happened. I'm pretty sure that there is a coupling there for the exhaust system.
Uh-huh.
That the one pipe that has the catalytic converter attached to it joins the front engine pipe. And it may be that you have an exhaust leak that's not so big that you can hear it, but just big enough to be shooting a stream of 784-degree exhaust. Yeah, and there is some danger here. I mean, it's also possible that maybe just a piece of heat shield. You know, all those pipes are shielded.
Uh-huh.
They have a wrapping around them that prevents the adjacent sheet metal from getting, i.e. the floor and whatever, from getting as hot as the pipe does. And the reason they have this shielding on them is to prevent fires.
Okay.
So if there's enough heat coming from that pipe, whether it's got a hole in it or whether it's leaking or whether it's just heat...
Not shielded anymore.
Not shielded correctly, and the heat is just emanating from it, it's possible to set the carpet on fire.
Oh, jeez.
Well,
this is very serious, because if it really is a hot exhaust, then that's definitely hot enough to set the carpet on fire.
Oh, and I know this because we've done it. there are other possibilities, but on a vehicle that's, I mean, you had 100,000 miles on this thing already?
Yeah, it's just about 100,000.
Yeah, I mean, it could be a plugged-up catalytic converter or some such thing that's overheating, but it should be a simple matter.
To find it, yeah. Has anyone looked for it?
No, not even me.
Not even you?
No.
Well, I mean, it would be interesting, for you at least, just to see what's underneath there. I mean, you know exactly where it's hot.
Uh-huh.
You should be able to figure out what's right directly under that.
Okay.
Here's what if you have an assistant who's willing to, with the engine running, you don't have to wait for it to get hot even. You can start the thing and run it for, a few seconds and have your assistant plug the tailpipe.
Okay, yeah, that sounds good.
And then if there is an exhaust leak, you'll hear it. And then if you crawl under there, you know about where the heel of your foot would be.
Right.
You're going to feel, I think, this stream of exhaust hitting the floor.
Okay.
If you have good fire insurance, then you might not want to pursue this. See you later, Dave.
Okay, thanks a lot, guys.
Thanks for your call.
Thanks for calling. Good luck.
1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Got a lawyer on Car Talk.
Hello, my name is Deborah, and I'm from Cincinnati, Ohio.
Is that just a five-letter Deborah?
That's a seven-letter Deborah.
The seven-letter Deborah.
Deborah.
Right.
Wow.
What's going on, Deborah?
I drive a 98 Ford Escort, and the problem is that when I park my car, I have to turn my steering wheel all the way to the right, or when I try to come back out the next time, I won't be able to start my car.
Baloney.
It's true.
What are you talking? That's crazy.
When you say you have to turn it all the way to the right.
Yes.
As you're parking. When you park, you have to park it with the wheels turned all the way to the right. Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
And if you don't do that, what happens when you put the key in? You can't turn the key?
You can turn the key, but it never ignites.
You can turn the key and it goes...
No, it doesn't even do that. There's no sound. You just
no
turn it,
sound.
And the lights come on, but it
the,
won't.
The lights on the dashboard come on.
Yes.
And if you forgot to do it, when you are turning the key all the way to crank, if you simultaneously turn the wheel to the right... While you're holding the key all the way, does it then start?
Sometimes, but most of the time I have to struggle with it for about 10 minutes. If I can start turning it to the right, it'll start.
And it'll never start if you turn it to the left, for example.
Right.
No, left.
Right. It doesn't start if you turn it to the left. You had to turn it to the right.
Is this an automatic transmission car?
Yes.
Okay, it's a wire.
Okay.
That's it. I mean, I can see that it's a wire. There's a wire problem.
All right.
It never has stalled out while you were driving it.
No.
Well, that's good. See, that tells us which wire.
Okay.
We're homing in on it.
Well, I'm not homed in. not homed in at all here.
Well, back there, when you turn the key, there's a whole bunch of wires behind that key.
Mm-hmm.
One of them is the wire that sends electricity from the battery to the starter to make the starter crank. The fact that you don't hear that means that that's the wire that isn't making contact when the steering wheel is not turned all the way to the right. So we know which wire it is. And it's not any other wire because the car runs once you get it started. So all the other wires are okay.
Which wire is it?
It's the blue one with the white stripe.
Yeah, you know, if we had a wiring diagram, we would know exactly which wire
it is.
Well,
we might know, but or it could be the ignition switch. You know, that key goes into a lock, which is what keys do, and that lock is attached to the switch, and the switch is the thing that has all the wires coming out of it that run all of the things on the car that are operated by the key, you know, the radio, the windshield wipers, and all, and the defroster, et cetera, and even the starter motor, and all those things get energized when you turn the key.
Right.
So it's possible that by turning it all the way to the right, you are somehow making a connection that's otherwise bad for the starter wire.
Okay.
And that connection could be right inside the ignition switch.
All right.
And I would start there. The other thing that your mechanic can do is get under the dash and see if he or she can reproduce the condition
by shaking a wire,
by moving stuff. Exactly.
Okay.
You know, but I wouldn't be surprised, Deborah.
Yes.
If you needed a new ignition switch.
I wouldn't be either.
So what would happen if I never get an ignition switch and I keep on turning it to the right? Is it all of a sudden going to stop working that way?
It might.
Some night.
You take
yeah. When it's snowing and miserable and
right.
7 degrees.
Uh-huh.
And
that'll
you,
be the night.
And you remembered even to turn the wheel all the way to the right.
Uh-huh.
And you're late for something.
Right.
That's when it won't start.
Of course.
Yeah.
Like you're on the way to the hospital to have your third child.
All right.
Something like that. So you might want to get it looked at before then.
Okay. Thank you very much.
See you, Deborah.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-22-78-255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, guys. This is Devon from Delton, Michigan.
Hi. Devon?
Yes.
D-E-V-O-N?
Yes, like in England.
All right, we're with you. What's going on, Devin?
I have a 93 Jeep Cherokee, and it has a 6-month-old baby, and they're related through my chronic problem that is caused by the numerous small hungry animals that live out here in the woods in Delton.
Wait a minute, is it really a 6-month-old baby?
Yeah, it really is.
I hit it right on the money.
Yeah, did you know that?
How would I know?
I don't know.
she has that 6-month cry.
She does.
That's him.
Yeah, yeah.
6 months. What was the? I wasn't paying attention. What was the question?
Well, the problem is that I don't have a garage, and I live in the woods, and animals keep chewing through things in my car and causing problems.
Boy, oh boy. Now we've had
the worst one was a fuel line. It was an opossum, I guess. We think. Judging
really?
By the tooth marks.
Oh, you can tell by the tooth marks.
Well, that one was really big and weird too. Gasoline. I wouldn't think that would be attractive.
Well, he didn't know it was gasoline until he got through it.
I guess.
Boy, an opossum is one of the most ugly little creatures I
know,
had.
It's
They're funny. Not little either.
One fewer possum out there now. But usually it's, I think, smaller rodents that are in the... Because usually it's electric wiring.
You know, we've been asked this question 100 times, and we still don't know the right
okay,
answer
well,
to
here,
it.
I have a solution.
My mechanic told me to put mothballs.
Yeah, I've heard that one.
Away. So I put mothballs under the back seat because that was where the baby couldn't get to them. But then, of course, the car seat is in the back seat. And now that I have mothballs in the car, it smells so bad in the car. I can't drive it.
That's unhealthy for your baby. He's not going to...
So my only other idea was, you know how you can buy bottled bobcat urine?
Yes.
And, like, put it around the garden?
Yes, that's what you need.
Is that really going to... Or is there a better idea?
A real bobcat.
Get a bobcat?
Yeah,
I would get those mothballs out of there right away. That's a very bad thing to have in the car.
And don't forget,
open all the windows and air it out.
Yeah, and they barely deter the moths. They're not going to work against a 20-pound opossum.
So what is an alternate idea? Anything?
Boy, oh boy.
You know, you need a dimly lit Quonset hut. you can get a garage. If you do build a garage, you need to build one that's pretty tight. And what I mean by that is you need one that doesn't let mice get in.
Or I move my cat from the house to the garage that I haven't built.
Yeah.
See, I mean, you're not the only one who lives out in the boondocks. I mean, people have this problem all the time.
My neighbors don't have this problem. I don't understand
A dog might help.
Some
kind of a creature.
Not in the middle of winter. Then what do you do? That's when they go looking for warm places. They crawl up under the hood and they eat all the wires.
Well, you let your dog out, and the dog pees all over the place and sends a signal that this land is my land, and it ain't your land.
Is that what that song means?
I think so.
You mean Pete Seeger was going around peeing everywhere?
You think that pee is the solution?
Well, I it's always worked for me.
Really? Would you come over here and pee around my car?
I think, but you might try the bobcat urine. But I mean, we certainly can ask other people who visit our website to assist us in this regard.
Because don't forget, at least half the country lives in the boondocks.
It's you know, and I have a 6-month-old baby, so I have an abundance of like pee. So if that is the solution.
Well,
if that's the solution, you got it.
I got it. I got like a diaper bag full of it like every day.
But there's nothing like a real live bobcat.
Well, yeah, well, I guess so.
No, but the mothballs, I really do have to go because I can't drive.
Yeah, the mothballs are—they get rid of those immediately. They're not good, and they're not good for your baby. They're not good for you, and they're not going to solve the problem either. I don't think.
Oh, really?
And if you don't want to build a garage for $15,000, yeah,
that would be more than much more than my car is worth.
Yeah, no, I think that. You need to try one of these other creative solutions. But I think I would start with the bobcat urine.
All right.
Yeah, it would keep me away. I know that much.
People in Montana will have an answer for you.
Yeah.
Somebody's got an answer.
Okay. See you, Devin.
All right, thanks.
Good luck.
It's not us because we're city guys. We don't know. What do we know about little creatures?
It was worth a try.
We don't know anything about little creatures. Exactly.
Good luck.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Hi. Well, you're not going to believe this, but it's already time to take a short break.
What? Time does fly when you're having fun, doesn't it?
Well, we are having fun. I mean, think about it. We really enjoy our work. But think about all the people out there who don't. In fact, they're watching the clock, counting the minutes till it's over.
Yeah, like all our listeners.
Anyway, we'll be back with more of your calls and some greeting cards you've probably never seen, if you're lucky, in just a minute.
Well, I left Kentucky back in 49 and went to Detroit working on assembly line. The first year they had me putting wheels on Cadillacs. Every day I'd watch them beauties roll by and sometimes I'd hang my head and cry. Cause I always wanted me one that was long and black. One day I devised myself a plan that should be the envy of most any man. I'd sneak it out of there in a lunchbox in my hand. Now, getting caught meant getting fired, but I figured I'd have it all by the time I retired. I'd have me a car worth at least $100,000. I'd get it one piece at a time, and it wouldn't cost me a dime. You'll know it's me when I come through your town. I'm gonna ride around in style. I'm gonna drive everybody wild, cause I'll have the only one there.
And even though Carl Castle starts unloading his entire NPR cufflink collection on eBay whenever he hears us say it, this is NPR.
Hey, if you'd like to hear more car talk.
Yeah, like if you're a teacher with a class of really rotten students you want to punish.
You can download hundreds of classic car talk shows.
And by classic, we mean
old. Previously aired.
Exactly.
<you know.
laughs> Just go to cartalk.com and click where it says listen to the show. Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and we're here to talk about cars, car repair, and greeting cards you don't want to receive.
This is from the dysfunctional section of a Hallmark store.
Okay.
Okay? What it says on the front of the card and then what it says when you open it up inside.
Got it.
I always wanted to have someone to hold, someone to love. And now that you've come into my life, open the card, I've changed my mind. As the days go by, I think how lucky I am, open the card, that you're not here to ruin it for me.
Man.
I got a lot of people to send these to. Happy birthday, you look great for your age. Inside, almost lifelike. here we go. I'm so miserable without you. Open the card. It's almost like you're still here. My ex-wife keeps sending me those cards.
Yeah.
Next one. Front of the card says, your friends and I wanted to do something really special for your birthday. Inside it says, so we're having you put to sleep.
Well, that's pretty thoughtful, actually. Hey, by the way, if you're wondering where the puzzler is,
yeah.
Have no fear. We are tracking the puzzler with our advanced puzzler GPS system.
Really? I mean, we have GPS?
Yep. The puzzler is being tracked by our global procrastination system.
Well, stay tuned for details on where you can find the backup puzzler on our website. While we're all waiting.
And right now, if you don't want to wait, give us a call. The number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Sarah. I'm calling from San Mateo, California.
With an H?
No, no H.
No H?
It's very important.
Oh, really?
Yeah, why is it important? Do you get, like, ticked if someone puts an H?
No, I mean, I guess it's more common, and so it's...
Oh, I don't know. I don't have an H either.
Well, that's important.
Anyway, why are you calling?
Well, so my problem, I drive a 1994 Honda Accord, and this is this car that I plan on driving into the ground. And
how close to the ground is it now?
Well, you know, I've done a lot of work on it, and I'm trying hard to maintain it, but the problem is I work as an environmental educator, and I was taking some kids up into the Sierras for the weekend, mm-hmm. and my sweetie changed the oil and checked my tires, but he left the oil cap off.
Oh.
But, of course, I didn't know that, and then I drove about 300 miles, and it was dirt roads and into the mountains, and when I got back, there was, you know, about a half inch of dust all over the entire car, the inside of the car. It looked like cocoa powder.
Right.
Really dusty, and we started the car, you know, it worked, it drove fine the whole time, but then when I got back, it kind of was acting funny.
Mm-hmm.
There was one or two times that it didn't start. And he opened the hood and realized that he had left the oil cap off. My question is, he said that that would significantly shorten the life of the car. And I'm totally freaked out about it. I'm a little bit in denial that anything's wrong at this point. And I'm
how much of a sweetie is he?
He's a sweetie.
Is he legally your sweetie? Or?
No.
How long has he been your sweetie?
Uh-oh.
He's incompetent.
He's usually really good. You know, that's the thing. I don't know what happened.
It can happen.
So he's been your sweetie for a long time?
Well, about 3 years.
That's a long time.
Yeah, it's long enough to keep him around.
Is this the only bonehead thing he's ever done?
Probably not, but to the car, yes.
How low was it on oil?
Let's see. It was...
when you checked it with the dipstick, which I presume you did.
I didn't do it. He checked it afterwards. I think he took care of putting oil back in the car.
Do you know how much he put in?
No.
Well, here's a question.
Okay.
Did the tanker truck have to back up to the your car to refill it?
No, you know, for the most part, it was really working fine. There was just this one time that it wouldn't start.
How many miles are on the car?
About 150,000.
Wow.
A little more, 160,000.
160.
I would say you might not even notice the difference in the longevity of the car due to this.
That's good.
It would be helpful for us to know
how much he added.
Yeah, exactly.
That's a very crucial question.
How much
if he added only a quart, I'd say don't even worry about it.
Uh-huh.
If he added 2 quarts, I'd be a little concerned.
But I would live with it.
By the way, the thing holds 4.
Okay.
If he added 3, I'd be asking him to move out.
And if he added 4, I'd kick him out.
Put his stuff out on the sidewalk.
What should I do with the car after I kick him out?
You're not going to kick him out. I mean, first of all, at 160,000 miles, it may be close to being in the ground anyway.
Yeah.
And it would be hard to, let's say he said to you in honesty that he added, you know, a quart and a half of oil and that filled it up.
Uh-huh.
It would be hard then, if the engine conked out, say, 5,000 miles from now, to pin the blame on him entirely.
Uh-huh, yeah. Right.
You know. I mean, and it's only if he put in 4 quarts that we can definitively say he has shortened considerably the life of the engine.
Terminated, one might even say.
Terminated it.
Well, were you driving the car most of the time?
Yeah, the whole time.
And the oil light never came on?
No.
Yeah, so my guess is that he added something less than two.
Less than two.
Uh-huh.
In which case, don't worry about it.
Okay.
But keep him away from mechanical things. And matches,
yeah,
too.
Right. I think that's where I'm at this point.
And you cleaned up all that mess under there.
Yeah.
How'd you do that? I don't want to ask. But you're environmentally conscientious, so you didn't like...
Oh, no, I'm sure. She got the kids to do it.
I didn't do it. He did it. So maybe I should have done it myself at this point. It's all me.
Don't worry about it. I think you're going to be fine.
Oh, that's good to hear.
Whew. Yeah, isn't it?
Yeah.
Hopefully you'll get another 100K out of it.
Yeah, I hope so. That's my plan.
All right. And you maybe got 100K out of him, too. See you, Sarah.
Thank you.
Good luck, Sarah.
Thanks.
Bye-bye. Yeah, you'll get 100K in the settlement. 1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Jim from Virginia, Minnesota.
Virginia, Minnesota.
Yeah, that's north of Cotton and south of Cook.
You sound amazingly like another caller that we had.
From Bemidji,
right?
Yeah, we're not far from Bemidji.
Yeah, you sound just like Dave from Bemidji.
Whoa.
You know Dave?
No, Dave's not here.
Dave's not here, but you know him, right?
Yeah, of course. Hey, well, we'll see if you guys can help me out.
We'll do our best, Jim.
All right, I got a Yeah, I got an older vehicle that I drive, a 1960 Buick LeSabre.
60? Neither, yeah. We weren't even born then.
Okay.
I was born in 61.
Oh.
So.
Yeah. That was 1861, but who's really counting?
Well, anyways, when you start it up, it runs, and then white smoke starts coming out, and it starts dripping some fluid, and stinks pretty bad. Huh. Then after about 5-10 minutes of warming up, everything goes away, and then unless you really hammer on a gas pedal, and then it stinks like burnt garlic.
Huh. Really?
Yeah.
And when you say you hammer on the gas pedal, this is...
In park. Yes.
And the burnt garlic smell is coming from the tailpipe or from the passenger compartment?
Tailed exhaust. Yeah, from the passenger side. Yeah.
And so the first couple of minutes it runs rough, eh?
No. Runs pretty smooth,
runs
really.
Pretty...
It just smokes kind of a whitish smoke and...
It isn't bluish, is it?
Maybe a little tint to that with a little bit of water coming out.
The water is good.
Okay.
The more moisture that comes out the tailpipe, the more water that comes out, the better.
Okay.
Because your ideal byproduct of combustion is water and carbon dioxide.
Correct.
If you had perfect combustion, that's all you'd get.
Ah.
And we wouldn't need catalytic converters or the EPA or any of that stuff.
Yeah.
But we know that your 60 LeSabre ain't doing that.
Well, I don't think it's got a catalytic converter.
Oh, no. And it's pretty far from perfect combustion, considering the carburetor is just basically an eyedropper that's letting gasoline drip into the intake manifold. I mean, it's a little more sophisticated than that, but not much. But it's probably running a little rich.
Okay.
When you first start.
All right.
This may be an opportunity for my brother to use an answer that he hasn't used in years.
Maybe a decade or
maybe
more.
Maybe a decade, and he used to use it 10 times a week. Go ahead. What do you think it is,
well,
brother?
I think you could have a faulty
choke pull off. Hey! All right.
And the choke pull off, for those of you who are old enough to care, is a vacuum operated diaphragm that begins to disengage the choke as soon as the engine starts and begins producing enough vacuum to operate it.
But you know what? Now that you mention that, when you look under the hood, at where the choke and the little, it looks like a little vacuum diaphragm on the side of it.
That's the choke pull-off.
Well, next to that, or up front of that, is a little manifold sticking up with two tips, like where you hook a vacuum hose to.
Mm-hmm.
And those are just sealed up with...
little plugs?
Monkey poop.
Monkey poop. Okay, we don't know exactly what monkey poop is up there in Virginia, Minnesota, but I think you guys...
Electrical. The same thing electricians
do. Swinging simians, but...
Stuffing tube.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, of course.
And then there's a glob of that on each one.
Well, this could be at the heart of your problem, Jim, that you're not getting vacuum, and you've got to find the source of vacuum, and usually it comes right off the manifold.
Okay.
And it's going to go to this pull-off, and it may be... Here's what you do. Take the air cleaner cover off.
Don't worry. It doesn't have an air cleaner.
Oh, I forgot. You're calling from Minnesota.
Right. We don't need air cleaners. The air is so clean up here, we don't got to clean it.
Exactly. Right. Yeah. Exactly.
Excellent.
Right. Excellent. So take with the air cleaner off, which you conveniently have already.
Right.
Start the engine or have an assistant start it. And then while it's pouring out this white smoke and whatnot, open the choke a little bit with a, you know, you can stick your finger in there or a pencil. And open it up so that it's open more than it is when it's without being touched.
Okay.
And I think you'll notice that the white smoke may diminish, and you also may find out that your burning garlic smell goes away. Because I think what's happening is with the choke too closed or too rich, you're building up a lot of carbon on the pistons.
What about pouring water down the carburetor?
Oh, to burn up some of that carbon?
Yeah.
You can try that.
Yeah. Okay. See,
but don't use a garden hose. I would recommend you use a water pistol.
Okay,
but if you do fix the choke so it opens correctly when the engine's cold,
right?
It'll eventually clean itself up.
It will.
Yeah.
Well, that sounds good.
Yeah, in a decade or so, it'll be fine.
Oh, that's way. I got lots of time.
See you, Jim. Right.
Thanks, Jim.
See you guys.
Take care. 1-888-CAR-TALK. Boy, we're going to have
like
to make
Dave.
A trip to Minnesota because he sounds like he could be as much fun as Dave. 1-888-CAR-TALK.
But I think you have to go out into the hinterlands to meet these guys.
Oh, yeah, way up.
That's up there.
Way up, yeah.
Yeah.
This is the...
It's not where my buddy Les Block is.
No, no, these guys are wearing coonskin caps and hunting for their dinners. 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Emily calling from Salt Lake City.
Emily.
Hi, Emily.
Emily's a happy name, you know? Someone named Emily could never be depressed.
Well, I generally am not depressed.
Yeah. Not unlike... Frau Blücher.
Frau Blücher, you could believe, would be down. But Emily, I guess it's because you have to sort of smile when you say it.
Emily.
You end up with your mouth smiling.
Yeah. Cool.
It's great.
So what's going on, Emily?
Well, I'm calling about my mechanic, not actually about my car.
You want to get a date with him or what?
No.
Absolutely not. What, am I crazy?
I have a 1992 Plymouth Sundance, and he has taken great care of that car. Mm. And my husband and I are about to move across the country from Utah to New Hampshire, and we're going to leave behind this mechanic. Obviously, we're not taking him with us. But we want
you
to
might
find...
be making a serious mistake.
Have you asked him if he would be interested in living in the
Maybe
Hampshire?
He's ready to relocate.
You never know. You know, I haven't asked him yet.
Yeah, well, you never know.
Where in New Hampshire are you moving? You mind my asking?
We're moving to Hanover.
Hanover.
It's right on the border of Vermont in New Hampshire.
Oh, it's over that side of New Hampshire.
Yeah. Near Dartmouth.
Exactly. That's what's bringing us
That's
there.
All. One of you is teaching at Dartmouth? Or my joining the janitorial staff?
My husband is starting graduate school there.
Oh, really? What's he taking? What's he studying?
He's going to do a PhD in ecology.
But they didn't have no stinking graduate schools in Salt Lake City?
Well, we've spent enough time here.
Oh, okay. Oh, so you're not from Salt Lake City originally?
No, we're actually both Minnesota natives.
Oh, so you were missing freezing your butts off. So you
decided the closest thing was Hanover, New Hampshire. Okay.
So anyway, so what's your question?
Well, so we're leaving behind this mechanic, and we want to find a nice thank you gift for him for all of his years of keeping my Plymouth running. And I was wondering if you guys had any suggestions.
I mean, other than the girly calendars?
Gee, isn't that sweet of you?
Yeah. So you're thinking of a tool of some kind?
Well, not necessarily. I don't know. I was actually thinking more along the line of, like, donuts or something.
What's your budget here? I'm understanding that you're grad students.
I don't know. Like
$10, $20.
$25.
Does he work alone?
No, there's a garage full of them. Probably, you know, there's probably four of them during the day.
Could you take them out to lunch?
Wouldn't that be a little weird?
You wouldn't.
See, now you're talking, going back to the date thing.
Yeah. Well,
No. I mean, both you and your husband could take them out to lunch. I mean, if you're that grateful to him.
Or could we order them pizza?
Yes, I think that we frequently have people who deliver stuff to us upon their last visit. And we've hired official tasters because we lost too many guys. Here, guys, have some carrot cake. And the guys keeling over like crazy. So, but we frequently have people who come and deliver meals to us.
Okay.
And they say, guys, here's a bag of Chinese food. Just want to let you know how much we appreciated your good work and all that, and we're going to miss you.
Okay.
And that would be the thing.
I like that. And that way they'd all remember it.
Yeah, I think a bag of Chinese food, and they like greasy stuff, you know, because they work in grease all day, so get the spare ribs and all that jazz.
All right, that sounds good.
See you, Emily.
They won't even have to wash their hands. Before or after.
Have fun.
We never do.
In New Hampshire. Bye-bye.
Yeah.
Bye-bye. All right, look, it's time for us to take a short break.
Hey, remember in the old days when we used to take a break?
Oh, yeah.
We'd have throngs of young women banging on the door wanting our autographs. Remember that?
Oh, man, those were the days.
Why doesn't that happen anymore?
Because some knucklehead at NPR released our photographs.
We'll be back with some cowboy humor and more of your calls in just a minute, so please stay tuned.
I drive the desert, it's cold in the deep of night. The sun has set, the moon is yet to rise. I'm holding back the darkness by steering wheel.
show you how you make me feel. Not so lonesome anymore.
And even though St. Jude, the patron saint of lost causes, applies for a reassignment, whenever we say it, this is NPR.
We're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers. And we're here to discuss cars, car repair, and some cowboy humor from my brother.
It's, I guess you could call it that. Here's a story. This is sent to us from a listener of ours whose name is Lori.
Okay.
We know that.
All right.
And we know she's from D.C., so thanks, Lori. A cowboy was herding cattle in a remote pasture when suddenly a brand-new BMW advanced out of the dust towards him. The driver, a young man in a Gucci suit and Ray-Ban sunglasses, leans out the window and asks the cowboy, "If I tell you exactly how many cows and calves you have in your herd, will you give me a calf?" The cowboy looks at the man, looks at his peacefully grazing herd, and calmly answers, "Sure, why not?" The yuppie whips out his Dell notebook, connects it to his AT&T cell phone, surfs to a NASA page on the internet where he calls up a GPS satellite to get an exact fix on the location, which he then feeds to another NASA satellite that scans the area in an ultra-high-resolution photo. The young man then opens Photo in Adobe Photoshop and exports it to an image processing facility in Hamburg, Germany. Are you with me on this?
I'm with you, man.
Finally, he prints out a 150-page report on his miniaturized HP LaserJet printer and turns to the cowboy and says, "You have 1,586 cows and calves." "That's right," says the cowboy. "I guess you can take one of the calves, then. Go ahead." He watches the young man select one of the animals and looks on amused as the young man stuffs it into the trunk of his car. Then the cowboy says to the young man, "Hey, if I can tell you exactly what your business is, will you give me back my calf?" The young man thinks for a second and says, "All right, why not?" The cowboy says, "You're a consultant." The guy says, "How did you know that? That's correct. How did you guess that?" He said, "It was no guessing required. You showed up here even though no one called you. You want to get paid for an answer I already knew, to a question I never asked. And you don't know anything about my business." The guy says, "That's it, I guess." And the cowboy says, "Now, will you give me back my dog?" It was long, but it was good.
It was pretty good.
"Give me back my dog."
Hey, by the way, I should mention that if you miss the puzzler,
every chance I get,
we are posting a puzzler on our website every week during the summer, and you can find it there at cartalk.com. But if you have a question and a puzzler of your own right now, the number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hello, my name is Dottie, and I'm calling from Minneapolis, Minnesota.
Hi, Dottie.
Hi. I have an easy one for you today.
Okay.
All right. Well, every once in a while, my boyfriend takes me on a weekend getaway to northern Minnesota. And he's very safety conscious. So
does your husband know about this?
No, it's better that...
Better that he doesn't know.
Better not.
Yeah. All right.
He's very safety conscious, and so he always checks the air pressure in the tires.
Yeah.
And when he checks it, he makes me get out of the car. because he's convinced that that affects the pressure reading.
Uh-huh.
Now, fortunately, the weather's always been good when this has happened. And I've been nice and gotten out of the car. But it's caused a lot of arguments. And he said, whatever you guys said the answer was, he'd leave it be at that.
Well, unless your weight is close to the weight of the car, I don't think it's going to make a heck of a lot of difference.
No, it's not going to make any difference that whatever gauge he's using would ever detect. And he can try it himself. He can take it with you in the car and take the air pressure without you in the car. And if he can see any difference on that gauge, I'll eat the gauge.
No, even if he has one of those fancy digital gauges that goes to a hundredth of a pound.
Yeah.
Per square inch, I don't think he's going to notice any difference between you in the car and you out of the car.
Yeah.
Well, now you probably gave him the idea to, like, make me do the test. But...
well, you can the test, but it doesn't make any difference.
I mean, do you weigh as much as the car?
No, I don't. Not quite as much.
Not quite as much. Is there anything else peculiar that he has you do besides this?
No, that's it. I limit it to that.
So you go to northern Minnesota for fun.
Yeah, to Duluth by Lake Superior.
What's up there? Oh, the lake.
Yeah, it's cooler up there. It's very picturesque. There's, a lot of little cabins and things like
that.
Yeah,
and wildlife and nature and birds and...
Exactly.
And foxes and raccoons. And
exactly.
And you go there?
Yeah, just once in a while for a little mini vacation on the weekends.
Yeah, yeah, no, it sounds like a lot of fun. Now, of course, he could check this tire pressure before he came to get you. Right?
Yeah, that's true. And then after I'm sitting in the car.
Then he wouldn't be accusing you of being a fat tubbo.
Geez, I don't know, Dottie.
I mean,
that's basically what he's saying.
Oh, this may, Dottie, be his way of saying to you, you ought to lose a few pounds.
That could be kind of passive aggressive, huh?
Yeah,
it could be. But tell him that he can do whatever he wants, but it's not going to change the reading too much.
Right. And if if he doesn't want to take you to northern Minnesota, I'll take you.
Right. Okay. That sounds good.
See you, Dottie.
Bye, Dottie.
And thanks for your call. 888 Car Talk. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Brian. I'm calling from near Seattle, Washington.
Near Seattle?
Yes, near.
That's good enough for us.
Are you anywhere near Pomeroy, Washington?
Pomeroy, boy.
You never even heard of it, did you?
It's probably in eastern Washington. There's a lot of Washington that most Washingtonians don't see.
Yeah.
What's in Pomeroy? Les Block?
No.
What?
Tom Licks.
He's relocated?
Yes.
Witness protection program?
Witness protection.
You're not supposed to tell anyone where he is?
I'm not supposed to know.
Why did you blab then?
Well, because he's completely redone his face and he...
Oh, he'd have to.
He's got a different name. No one can find him.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, what did he change his name to?
I can't tell you that.
Oh, I thought I could get it from you. Anyway, what's going on, Brian?
Well, my wife and I are having a debate, perhaps you can help settle or maybe add fuel to, about our 2002 Honda Odyssey.
Okay.
What we have is about 52,000 miles on that vehicle.
Yeah.
And it's about to get, courtesy of me, its third set of rotors. So we've been through the original ones that came on the vehicle, put on brand new replacement, aftermarket replacements, and now we're still getting them, and it's the front rotors on this vehicle that seem to be doing it. We have another vehicle, a Lexus, that doesn't do it. And so I guess the debate is that I drive the Lexus more than I drive the minivan. So the minivan is sort of my wife's car.
Oh, so you're blaming her?
Well, no blame. No blame involved.
Okay.
We just are gathering information at this point.
Yeah.
And part of the information is to find out whether or not maybe a driving style could influence whether rotors get warped or what.
Of course it could. What kind of driving does she do?
Well, we live on a hill. We're like in the Cascade foothills.
Yeah.
And we have a 400 to 700 foot, depending on which GPS you trust, hill that we live on the top of. So she goes down a couple of times a day, whereas I go up and down maybe once or twice a day. She might go three or four times.
Okay. Oh, she might be riding the brakes.
Well,
I think you should blame her. I mean, that's an easy way. Why fool around looking for a technical explanation
when you can just blame your wife?
Just blame your wife and just get it over with.
Okay.
How many wives have you had now?
If we want to get past the blame and solve the problem.
Well, you might.
What kind of drive? But other than going up and down your driveway, what kind of driving does she do? Around Around the city?
Around town. Well, you know,
stop
the,
and
the
go?
Town we live in is a little out in the middle of nowhere, so there's at least a 3-mile interstate drive, no matter what,
yeah,
you know, to get anywhere. But it is mostly around the city, yes.
And she doesn't, of course, drive with 2 feet.
Don't think so.
It's an automatic transmission.
It is, absolutely.
So you've never actually had the courage to ride in the car with her?
No, that's not true. I do.
Okay.
I just
thought I'd start trouble if I could.
You're doing a great job.
See, I tell you, we do a lot of Hondas at the shop, and we don't see any of them with warped rotors.
Mm.
So I have to believe that something that she's doing, whether it's coming down a hill, a long hill, riding the brake instead of downshifting to a lower gear, or some other kind of, you know, excessive braking, is warping the rotors.
Okay.
I would be surprised that simply going down that driveway twice a day would be enough to warp rotors in 25,000 miles.
Yeah.
Well, see, I don't have it on the other cars, and, you know, I maybe go down half as much as she does. And I have about the same amount of miles in my vehicle that she has on hers, and I don't think I'm anywhere close to needing rotors.
And you have automatic transmission as well?
I do. I do.
And you go down that and drive?
I do.
You must be going pretty fast.
What kind of a car is it you have?
A Lexus.
I have a Lexus, yeah.
Lexus. Well, it may be that the rotors are a little beefier.
Perhaps.
You know, and they may be able to take it. I mean, the Lexus is designed perhaps for more high-performance kind of driving, and the Odyssey is designed for soccer mom. Maybe she resents driving this car, and she's trying to wreck it. Who was the one who was responsible for the decision about buying this car?
Oh, well, we both liked that car. We went and drove all the minivans back when that were available.
Sure,
then.
But you're not driving it.
I drive that car whenever I need to. I love that
whenever
car.
You need to, like going to the dump and all that. But she has to drive it all the rest of the time. I'm telling you, Brian, she hates it, and she's punishing the car. I wouldn't be surprised if she's driving down the interstate at 70 with her foot on the brake. Just to hurt the car.
You know, I think I could smell that if she were doing
you
that.
Might, well, you
well,
might
not
be able
by the time you get home.
So if she was forced to buy this thing that against her will, if she's driving it against her will, then it could be, in fact, that she's doing something to it that she may not even know she's doing. Her unconscious mind may be doing it.
And when you say that you both decided together to buy the Odyssey, you had already decided by something else to buy a vehicle like the Odyssey.
Well, we started with both had sedans. In fact, we're, you know, so boring, we both had the same kind.
Yeah.
You know, we started with Nissan Maximas, and we got rid of those and got a minivan and got the Lexus convertible. So.
Oh, you got a Lexus convertible besides.
And what, can I go back? Why did you need a minivan? You have kids?
Yes, we do.
How many?
Well, we had two when we bought the minivan and before the convertible and three now.
Oh, so you can't take the kids in the convertible.
Well, not unless I put one in the trunk.
Yeah, and your wife...
she's stuck with the kids all the time.
And
the Odyssey.
She is not all the time.
And you're driving around like a surfer boy with the wind blowing through your bald spot.
Yeah,
with the top down, gold chains. Listen,
only when it's not raining.
Yeah, well, sure.
I don't know, Brian. I think there's more going on here than you could possibly know. I know.
Well, if there were a braking kind of style to use, would it be go faster and brake more vigorously, or would
no.
it be go slower and brake more continuously?
Yeah,
go slower.
Okay.
I mean, the faster you're going, the more braking it's going to take to slow down.
Well, you're going to burn up. It's the same, you know, potential versus kinetic.
Yeah,
right?
I know, but the spike in the temperature
is that's what warps
is,
them.
Is, yeah,
yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
So when the rotor goes from being, you know, temperature A to temperature B very, very quickly because you slammed on the brakes, then that's – and then, of course, they cool off because you take your foot off. I think those rapid rises and falls of temperature or what caused the warping.
Your wife may...
Well, that sounds like the way I drive versus the way she drives.
But she may have a heavy foot. She may be a lead foot when you're not around.
Yeah,
that could be.
I think you need to buy her a nice necklace.
Yeah, and maybe I need a minivan too then.
Yeah, you may need a minivan as well. I think that would go a long way toward ameliorating the situation.
Yeah,
I think there's some undercurrents here that you don't want to know about.
Okay.
But you may find out after you buy her the necklace, the next set of rotors will last a lot longer.
Or maybe, you know, Hawaiian vacation or something.
Yeah, the Hawaiian vacation would be best if you and the kids stayed home.
Maybe we'll go home and leave her.
Exactly.
Brian, okay. Good luck.
All right. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
All right, bye-bye.
See, that started off as a nice, innocent call. We could have just dismissed it and said, look,
don't say we. I did not start the big argument.
Well, I just had a sense that there was much more to the story than he was telling us.
Well, maybe if you sensed that.
Oh, yeah, I did, right from the outset.
Don't say we.
I mean, she's stuck with not only the minivan, but she's stuck with three little kids.
Oh, there's no question about it.
And he's got the convertible, the Lexus convertible. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
No, there's definitely some problem there.
And he had to have known when he said, it's all right if I get the Lexus, isn't it, hon?
Yeah.
Yeah, and she was too nice. She said, oh, of course, I won't be resentful at all, you no good. I'm telling you, we resolved their issues. There will be no more warped rotors in that house.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, it's happened again. You've wasted another perfectly good hour listening to Car Talk. You too, Thomas.
Yes.
Our esteemed producer is Doug the Subway Fugitive, not a slave to fashion, Bongo Boy Berman. Our associate producers are Dave the Calves of Belleville Green and Catherine Frau Blucher Fenelosa. There we go. Our web lackey is Doug the Old Gray Mare. Our engineer is John Cartman Parati. And our technical, spiritual, and menu advisor, just back from the Reykjavik, Bisquick, Extra Thick Fish Stick Marshmallow Chick and Salt Lick Picnic, Bugsy Lawler. Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Marge Inovera. Our customer care representative is Heywood Jabuzoff. Our personal makeup artist is Bud Tugley. Our personal hygiene advisor from the Tokyo office is Otekashawa. Our transgender studies expert is Ben Hur. Our customer greeter is Mel Pugh. May I help you?
Oh,
our layout counselor is Harry Viderci. Our head of alterations is Toulouse Toulon. Our Russian chauffeur is Peekoff and Dropoff. Our mother-in-law liaison is Stella Payne Diaz, who's married to our father-in-law liaison, Royal Payne Diaz, who are the proud parents of a teenage daughter, Sasha Royal Payne Diaz. And the head of our working mother support group is Erasmus P. Dragon. Our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe is Louis Dewey, known to the other bums in Harvard Square checking email on their Blackberries as Huey Louie Dewey. Thanks so much for listening. We're Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. Don't drive like my brother.
Don't drive like my brother.
We'll be back next week. Bye-bye. You can get a podcast of this show, which is number 1030, meander through the Car Talk archives, or check out our clothing and CD collections all over at cartalk.com.
Also this week at cartalk.com, the complete guide to driving a car with a stick shift.
Yeah, I mean, fewer and fewer cars have stick shifts these days, but it's a good thing to know how to do.
Right. I mean, what if you're in a situation where the only car available happens to have a manual transmission?
Yeah, and your getaway driver just locked himself in the vault.
It'd be good to know how to drive one of them now, wouldn't it?
You betcha. So check out Car Talk's complete guide to driving a stick.
You'll find it all week at cartalk.com.
Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even though Corey Flintoff really regrets the night he tattooed the NPR logo on his left butt cheek whenever he hears us say it, this is NPR.